Let's turn in God's Word tonight to John's Gospel, chapter 7. John's Gospel, chapter 7, and we're going to commence reading from verse number 32. John's Gospel, chapter 7, and verse number 32. And the Word of the Lord says, "The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take Jesus. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I will go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. Where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? And the officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. Amen. With God's word having been read, let's pray and seek the face of the Lord. Our gracious Lord and our loving, eternal Heavenly Father, once again we give thee thanks for the privilege this day of being found in the house of God. And for each one who is gathered with us tonight, Lord, we give thee thanks and praise. We thank thee, Lord, for this ordained appointment, where we are to meet around thy word and hear what thou would say to our souls. We pray, O Lord, as the word of God is opened, that each heart will be engaged. We ask you, Lord, that the Spirit of God will apply the word effectually. We pray, O Lord, it will be applied very clearly and plainly. We ask you, Lord, it will be a nail in a sure place. Lord, thou knowest the need of each in this gathering tonight, those who need to be restored, those who need to be saved, those who need to be encouraged, those of God's people, Lord, who just need that touch from thee tonight. And we pray, Lord, that through thy word, thou wilt minister to our hearts. We thank thee and praise thee. This is a living word. We thank you, Lord. This is a word that the Lord can speak to us through tonight. And therefore, above the voice of man, we desire to hear the voice of God. Lord, help us not to leave just hearing man's voice tonight, but help us leave having heard the word of God speaking to us, saying, This is the way. Walk ye in it. Lord, make our hearts obedient to thy word. Often we hear the word of God and we know the truth, but we do not accept the truth. And there are those in this meeting tonight, and all their lives have been truth rejectors, rejecting Christ and the gospel. Lord, I pray tonight that they will come and hear what the Lord would have to say and put their faith and trust in the finished work of a wonderful living Savior. Lord, we pray tonight that not one listening to my voice will be lost or any hell for all eternity. We pray, O Lord, that you'll save them. We pray, O Lord, you'll work in their hearts, that you'll have mercy on their soul. Pray, O Lord, you'll go after them and draw them unto thyself. We pray, O Lord, you give help tonight in the proclamation of thy truth. Amen. Empty me of self and sin, I pray. Fill me with thy spirit. And may the word come tonight powerfully with the authority of heaven, and Lord, to the salvation of souls, we pray these things in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. The verse I want to speak on tonight is verse number 46, and we are going to a few different passages in God's word, but I want us just to have some opening thoughts on this verse. It says, "The officers answered, never man spake like this man." Never man spake like this man. These officers have been sent by the chief priests and the Pharisees to take or arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever they came and heard the Lord speaking, something happened that day that they did not desire to fulfill the commands of those of the chief priests and the Pharisees. And when they came, this was the reason that they gave for disobeying those who were really in authority over them. Never man spake like this man. We have heard something that we have never heard before. We have heard a delivery of a message that we have never heard the like of before. And what a wonderful statement of truth is found here in verse 46. Never man spake like this man. One of the Bible commentators said, "Never man spake like this man. Not Moses, the spokesman of the people of Israel, nor David, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel, nor Solomon, the wisest of men, nor that sublime and evangelical prophet Isaiah, nor any of the other prophets, nor John the Baptist, his forerunner. Never man spake words like this, such gracious words, the doctrines of grace. Never man spoke such words of truth or such words of wisdom. Never man spoke words with such form and manner as he did. Never man spoke and lives were so much changed." And you know, as I thought about that, this statement was made by men who were hardened to the work they were called to do. They often had to arrest people. They often had to mistreat people. And they were supposed to be indifferent to those who they were dealing with. And yet such was the effect of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking upon their lives that they were willing to risk punishment and the consequences for disobedience. You know, this is not the first time it was noted that the Lord Jesus Christ was different in his speech and in his wisdom from others. If you turn with me to Luke's Gospel chapter 2, you'll find that once again there, in Luke's Gospel chapter 2 and verse number 46, it says, "It came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his words." See, throughout history, countless orators have stood and spoken to crowds who gathered to hear their every word. Through words spoken, countries have been established, wars have commenced and concluded, nations have been led in mourning, laws have been brought into being, great explanations of discoveries have been given in science, great understanding of processes have been delivered. Men have faithfully preached the gospel and seen many souls led to Christ, but still, no matter what we compare with this one of Scripture, we can truly say, never man spake like this man. And I want us to understand why tonight. Why can we say that never man spake like this man? Well, first of all, I believe Jesus Christ spoke words of creation. Jesus Christ spoke words of creation. Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 1. And this is important for us to understand if we're going to be saved. It says there in John, chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made." Verse number 10, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." And throughout Scripture, the Word of God declares that Jesus Christ was the one who spoke creation into being. You know those words written in the Bible, "Let there be light"? Well, those were spoken by the Savior. Before he came to Bethlehem, long before he took on the form of man, Jesus spoke the words, "Let there be light," and there was light. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, and you'll find in Ephesians 3 something very important about that creation, because in Ephesians 3, verses 8 and 9, Paul says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And that word created there in verse number 9 is a very special word. It's only ever used in Scripture to describe the work that God has done. Now, men have created things from things that have already existed, but this word created has only ever been used of God because it means to create something out of nothing, to shape something, to form something, to make it and to bring it forth out of absolutely nothing. Only God can do that. Oh, yes, there have been many people who've been able to create, but they had to start with materials that already existed. And here we find that the Word of God tells us that God created all things by Jesus Christ. In the book of Colossians, just over a few pages there, chapter 1 and verse number 16, it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, for all things were created by him and for him." What we understand here is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who speaks and things are created. Everything that exists in this world today exists because of God's creation. This is attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture. Jesus has done what others cannot do. He has created a world. He has created the human race, and therefore he is creator. He has all authority. He has all power. Of course, men want to seek to diminish that today, because if we take a creator out of the picture, then we're accountable to nobody. If we take a creator out of the picture, then we don't have to be answerable at the end of the day. But this is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ does when a soul is saved. He creates something. Because whenever a person is born, they're born dead in trespasses and in sin. Nothing exists. Nothing exists of profit in the soul of a man or a woman. But whenever they get saved, God gives them something. God speaks life into their soul. Salvation is not just that I get to heaven someday. Salvation is I have Christ within me now, living and reigning and blessing me because I am his and he is mine. By nature, I'm dead, but in Christ, I'm made alive. He speaks life into my soul. And sinner, in this meeting tonight, you need the Lord Jesus to give you what only he can give you. This world can't give you spiritual life. Religion can't give you spiritual life. The church can't give you spiritual life. But you need to call on the Lord to give you life. We sang in the community singing just before the service, life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Just one word from Jesus and you can be saved. And therefore you need to come and ask the Lord tonight for spiritual life. Spiritual life. Hymn writer said, Jesus went to the temple when he was only 12, his words awed the elders as his wisdom they beheld. And the multitudes they followed to hear the man from Galilee. Never a man spake like this man when he said, come follow me. He calmed the troubled waters with a few words from his lips. The lame walked and the dumb talked when he said to them, believe. And Lazarus came forth from the grave when he heard the master speak. Never a man spake like this man when he said, come follow me. Never a man spake like this man, the glorious King of Kings. He spoke to my troubled soul, and now my heart sings. He has promised in his holy word, someday his face I'll see. Never a man spake like this man when he said, come, follow me. And whenever you hear the Lord calling you, then you respond tonight. If you hear the Lord calling you to follow him, then sinner, come tonight. Come to the cross. Come to the place of pardon. Come to the place of forgiveness and experience life in the risen Lord. Not only did Jesus Christ speak words of creation, but the Lord Jesus Christ spoke words of revelation. Turn with me, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 3. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. And verse number 7. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke words of revelation. In other words, he revealed. He revealed what was hidden. Verse number 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were revered in Hebrew times and in Bible times. They were those who studied the law. They were those who really dictated how others ought to live. They studied the Old Testament. They interpreted the Old Testament. And it was their job, really, to be an example unto others. And while many people stood and were in awe of their outward show of religion, the Lord Jesus Christ came and called them a generation of vipers. And that description literally means a wicked offspring of wicked parents. And that is what the Lord called the religious hierarchy of that day. He revealed what they truly were. Bible commentators tell us that the viper used here, as in this description of this viper, there is no serpent more poisonous. A bite from this particular viper that the Lord Jesus was referring to, in just as immediate swelling and death follows swiftly. And that's how dangerous that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were, because they were preaching something that could never save the soul. They were preaching something that would bring others into great bondage. You see, they held a righteousness by works. And they said that if you do this work and you fulfill the laws that we give to you, then you will be accepted by God. The Word of God informs us that no man can keep the law. The Word of God tells us that it is impossible for a man or a woman to keep the law. By our very birth and by our very nature, we have broken the law of God. Not only that, but they held to a false interpretation of the law. They held to a false interpretation of the law. And Jesus had to correct it. You remember the Lord Jesus often said, "You have heard it said, but I say." And the Lord gave the law as it ought to be given. You see, he came to fulfill the law, not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it and give it its fullness here. Not only that, but they held their own traditions to be equal with the law of God. They made up rituals and traditions, and they made up laws that were to be held equal with scriptural laws. And therefore, the requirement placed upon people was not anymore just the Ten Commandments, but it was also added on by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And not only that, but they were hypocritical in their practice. They often stood on street corners praying long prayers in flowing garments, and yet they neglected the important matters to deal with the gospel and to deal with the soul. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ stood in front of those people, whom the world applauded, and whom many looked up to as their spiritual leaders, and the Lord spoke to them, and he called them a generation of vipers. And the reality is here, those were words of revelation. And whenever you stand before the Lord, there will be words of revelation spoken. Never man will speak like this man, because he will declare you to be what you really are. Thank God for those who are saved, will be declared to be in Christ, will be declared to be righteous. But for those who are not saved, you'll be declared and revealed for what you really are. Turn over to Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 27, because here's another time the Lord Jesus Christ revealed. Chapter 23 and verse number 27. And the Word of God says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." And here is another revelation. Once again, people who were respected, people who were looked up to, people who were followed, and people whom others tried to imitate. And the Lord said, your outward appearance is bright. Your outward appearance is beautiful. Way back in Bible times, once a year, there was a requirement to paint the outside of the tombs and the graves where the people lived with white limestone. The reason for that was to reveal that there was a grave there. It was an offense for a Jewish person to touch a grave. And therefore, it was whited out and made to look very beautiful so that people could see it and they would keep themselves clean according to the ceremonial law. And what the Lord was saying outwardly, you look white, you look spotless, you look clean, you look pure, you look the part. But the Lord looked inwardly and saw the deadness. Christ revealed what was in the heart. What an awful thing it must be for a man or a woman to go through life as a churchgoer, as a religious person, in many aspects on the outward appearance, looking good and bright and pure and beautiful, looking like a Christian, acting like a Christian, really not giving offense to any, but the reality is the inward part of the heart is dead. The soul is full of death. And perhaps you're in this meeting tonight and that's you. And you have lived your life up to this point. And maybe you've come to this church since the doors opened 46 years ago. And you have the appearance of salvation. And the appearance of being clean. And nobody really could point the finger at you with the life that you live. You're a good, upright, respectable member of society. But please remember tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks words of revelation. And the Lord will reveal who you are. And tonight the Lord sees who you are. And nothing shall be left uncovered. Nothing shall be left undealt with. Friend, if you stand before the Lord with an appearance of salvation, the Lord will reveal you for who you truly are. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke words of creation. He spoke words of revelation. The Lord Jesus Christ also spoke words of separation. Turn with me, please, to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, and we come to verse number 31. And it says there, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from his goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And the word of God then goes on to say how they showed that they were saved by the lives that they lived. And then verse 41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. What does this passage of God's word teach us? Number one, Jesus is coming again. The one who spoke these words, the one who declared these words, the one who shared the gospel, the one who stood upon this earth and pleaded it with men and women to come unto faith and salvation. He is coming again. The one whom we see coming that day, accompanied by his holy angels to sit in the throne of glory, will be seen by all. We shall see him as he left. The marks of the crucifixion will be upon his body, and he will come, not like the first time, in Bethlehem, where few people knew, but he will come, and the whole world will know. And the word of God says, before him, verse 32, shall be gathered all nations. Here is the judgment that none can avoid. Here is the throne before which all will stand. And the reason the Lord calls all to come is that he is going to judge them. You see, this time when the Lord says come, all will come. None will refuse. None will turn their back and say, no, I don't believe. But all will come and stand before him. And then the Bible tells us that he shall separate them one from another. See, the Lord will separate them one from another. Matthew Henry said of this passage of God's word, this is a description of the last judgment. It is an explanation of the parables which have taken place already in this chapter. It's a judgment to come, in which every man shall be sentenced to a state of eternal happiness or misery. Christ shall come, not only in the glory of his Father, but in his own glory as mediator. The wicked and godly here on earth dwell together in the same cities, the same churches, the same families, and are not always to be known the one from the other, partly because of the weaknesses of the saints and the hypocrisies of the sinners. But death takes both, and in that day they will be parted forever. Jesus Christ is a great shepherd. He will shortly distinguish between those that are his and those that are not. All other distractions will be done away, or distinctions will be done away, but the great one between the saints and the sinners, the holy and the unholy, will remain forever. You see, the wicked in this world were often called to come to Christ for life and rest, but they turned away from his call. Friend, you've the opportunity in every gospel meeting, in every mission, and every time you open the Word of God and read the gospel and the offer of redeeming grace, you have the opportunity to come. And if you neglect and refuse and rebel and go, then you'll stand before the Lord and you will be given an everlasting punishment. Your state will never be altered. And for all eternity, you will know what it is to be under the condemnation of the Lord. And therefore, life and death stand before us again today. Good and evil, the blessing and the curse. Heaven and hell, Christ ourself. And those are the eternal realities. Those are the realities that we bring to men and women and young people at the end of every gospel meeting. There is a way you have to choose. There is a path that you are going to follow, and there is an end that you will come to. And that end will see you stand before the Lord. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Or, in verse 41, depart from me, you cursed. See, in this meeting, there really only are two types of people. Those who are blessed because of salvation and those who are cursed because of sin. See, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke words of creation. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke words of revelation. And he spoke words of separation. But thank the Lord, he spoke words of salvation. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 2. Verse 1 says, and he entered into a ship, Matthew chapter 9, and passed over, and came into his own city, and behold, they brought to Jesus a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your heart? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed and walk. And he arose and departed to his house. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ told this man that his sins were forgiven. Now this man came sick of the palsy. He wasn't able to walk. He really had an incurable illness. And this man was brought before the Lord, and you would have thought, and I probably would have thought that day, that the greatest need that man had was a physical touch from the Lord. But you see, the Lord knew that his greater need was a need of a sin-sick soul, and they brought a man to him. I think that's a very interesting little phrase in verse number 2. Behold, they brought to him a man. What a challenge to believers. They brought a man who needed a touch from the Lord, and they brought him to Jesus. Believer, we need to bring our friends, our family to the Lord, first in prayer and then practically to the house of God. They brought him to the only one who can forgive sins. And what I want you to notice here is the Lord said, thy sins be forgiven thee. But he also said something else. He said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Now, what does that little phrase, be of good cheer, mean? It literally means to be bolstered within, with a warm confidence. In other words, he wanted this man not only to be saved, but to know he was saved. He wanted this man to have complete confidence. And why could he have complete confidence? Because it was Jesus who said he was saved. He wasn't going to someone in the temple. He wasn't going to a scribe or a Pharisee. He was going to the Lamb of God, the Son of God, and therefore the Lord said, have a good confidence, have a strong faith, because your sins have been forgiven. And not only does that word mean to have a strong, inward, warm confidence, but to have a bold courage to live out the inner faith. And that's exactly what the Lord does for the sinners. And then those who were the whited sepulchres, those who were the generations of vipers, those who were the discouragers, those who didn't know the Lord and wanted to dampen the gospel and the work of Christ, they came and murmured, this man blasphemeth. And you know what? They soon realized that he was no man. He was the God-man. Because the Lord knew their thoughts. The Lord knew what they were thinking. And he said, to prove who I am, I'm going to let this man rise up and walk. And that man arose and walked. And when the multitude saw it, in verse 8, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. You see there in Matthew's gospel, the Lord spoke salvation. And he gave him the confidence to know that when Christ says something's done, it's done. And that man had a confidence within his heart that was given by the Lord. Turn with me to Mark chapter 16, the last chapter of the book of Mark. Mark chapter 16, let's look at verses 15 and 16. And the word of God says that Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. See, once again, the Lord speaks word of salvation. He says, he that believeth shall be saved. And that word is a very important word, because this is the word that Jesus has said. This is the word Jesus declares. He says they shall be saved. What does that salvation entail? Well, that word means three things. That word saved in verse number 16. It means, first of all, they'll be healed. And secondly, they'll be preserved. And thirdly, they'll be rescued. Firstly, healed. They will be healed from the sickness unto death, the sickness of sin. Secondly, they will be preserved from Satan's power. And they will be rescued from hell, from God's wrath, and from eternal separation. And in this meeting tonight, if you're not saved, that's exactly the salvation you need. That is the salvation that you need. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. That is the only salvation that is offered in Scripture. It's the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can heal you tonight. You have an incurable sickness. You have an incurable disease. It is sin, and it is going to take you into the second death. It's going to take you to hell. You need to be saved and healed from your sin, and the Lord can heal you tonight if you will but ask him and call on him. Not only that, he will preserve you. You see, the Lord just doesn't save you and leave you, but the Lord saves you and he keeps you. Thank the Lord, we're not depending upon ourselves to get to heaven. We're depending upon the finished work of the Lord and the continuing work of the Lord to keep us until we get to glory. And then he will rescue us. And folks, we need rescue tonight. Those who are not saved need rescue. The danger that you are in tonight is the worst possible kind of danger. Because if you don't realize it tonight, then you'll never be saved. If you're not saved in this meeting, you're a heartbeat from hell. You're a breath from being damned for all eternity. And therefore, you need to be rescued tonight. Let's turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 48, 49. Well, let's go verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. And the Lord once again speaks words of salvation, because he turned to this lady and said, thy sins are forgiven. See that word forgiven? It means sent away. Your sins have been sent away from you. They're not on your record anymore. They're not on your account anymore. They're not upon your heart's condition anymore. Your sins have been sent away into the sea of forgetfulness. They've been cast behind God's back, never to be remembered against you anymore. And sinner, in this meeting tonight, that's what God can do for you. God can forgive your sins. He can send your sin, the penalty of it, the record of it, He can send it away. And not only does it mean sins being sent away, but thy sins are forgiven, it also means you've been released from your sin. In other words, you've been released from the control and the power and the mark of sin. In this meeting, if you're not saved tonight and the Lord looks upon you in your sin, that's what identifies you tonight, your sin. But thank the Lord, you can be released from your sin. And that sin can be taken off and the filthy rags thrown down and the robe of the righteousness of Christ placed upon you. Thank the Lord for the salvation that Jesus speaks. And then finally in John's Gospel and the chapter number 5, please turn there, John's Gospel chapter 5. Verse 32. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. And folks, the reality is tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and he spoke and he preached and he talked. And the words have been recorded by the Holy Spirit and preserved in the canon of Scripture right up until today. Why? Why did the Lord speak? Why has the Lord given a revelation unto man? He said in verse number 34, these things I say that ye might be saved. That's why Christ has come. That's why Christ has given the word of God. You know, sometimes people come to maybe the Sermon on the Mount or the Lord says to love your neighbor as yourself, and they take it and they think if they live by that little token, just simply enough, well, that's pleasing the Lord and they're doing what the Lord has required of them. If you're taking of Scripture and the words of the Lord Jesus are only to give you a moral goodness in life, then you miss the whole point of Christ coming. The Lord Jesus Christ came that you might be saved. He spoke that you might be saved. And yet today he is still speaking. And then my final reference tonight is in John chapter 10 and verse number 9. And there we come to the Lord declaring himself to be the good shepherd. And it says there, John 10 and verse number 9. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That was verse 10. Verse 9 says, I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And thank the Lord whenever you come to the door of Christ Jesus. And by faith you go through and you rely on the work, the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. When you reach out your hands and receive the gift of justification that he offers to those who will come, whenever you close in with Christ and accept him as your substitute and as your Savior and as your Redeemer, then he says you will be saved. You'll be saved from the guilt and power of sin. You'll be saved from the law of God, its curse and its condemnation. And thank God you'll be saved from every evil and from every enemy. The very final call of the Scriptures, the very final call of heaven, is given in Revelation chapter 22. And it says in God's word in Revelation and the chapter number 22 and verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Who's speaking here? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. These literally are some of the last words that the Lord has given unto man in the Scripture. And folks, the message tonight to your soul in this meeting, Mockerfeld Free Presbyterian Church, October 2014, the Lord is saying to you, come, come, come. See, he spoke words of creation and revelation and separation and salvation. And here are words of invitation. And the Lord desires you to come and come to the water of life. And there we are back at the very start. Only Christ can give you life. Amen. Only Christ can give you life. Friend, tonight the call from heaven is to come. The preacher can say words, but never man spake like this man. And what does Christ say to you tonight? He says, come. Come just as you are. Come as a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Come to the cross. Come wash in the fountain filled with blood. Come and be clean tonight. Come and know pardon and peace. Come and know the indwelling of God in your life. Come and know a change here within your very heart and soul. Come know a change in heaven where your name will be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come and close in with Christ, because the day is drawing very close to its end. Come and close in with Christ tonight, because you do not know what a day may bring forth. Come and close in with Christ, because the message of Scripture is prepared to meet thy God. Because you will stand before him, and you'll either stand before him as a judge who will condemn you to hell, or the Savior who'll welcome you to glory. Folks, I'm not asking you how you've lived, because in reality that's not important. I'm asking you tonight, how will you die? How will you die? Will you die in Christ, or will you die in your sin? Will you die a heartbeat from heaven, or a heartbeat from hell? Will you die having received the promises of God through Jesus Christ your Lord? Or, friend, will you die having heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who never spake like any man, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, to the point where you could preach the gospel, but you'll be in hell for all eternity because you've rejected the things of God? You've lived in your sin. You've died in your sin. And you'll spend eternity in your sin. You know, it's amazing to think of who we are and what we are, and yet the Lord still says, come. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus, I come to thee. And folks, if you come to the Savior tonight, the Word of God says he won't cast you out. You'll not be made a fool of. But thank God you'll be changed, saved by his grace, and washed in his blood. Let's close our eyes. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. And with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, can I just simply make myself available? Your servant for the Lord. We've sought to bring you God's word tonight. And truly, the Lord has spoken and told us all we need to know in the Bible. We've got the full revelation of the Word of God. We've got all we need to know to be saved and to live in victory. My friend, don't forget this. One day you'll stand before the Son of God, the one of whom this book reveals. And one more time you'll hear him speak to you. On that day, he'll either say, welcome, or depart. And as you sit in God's house tonight with Judgment Day honesty, you know within your heart what that's going to be. If it's welcome, then you thank the Lord tonight before you close your eyes that you're saved. But folks, if it's going to be depart because you're in your sin tonight, I beg you in God's name, don't leave here without Christ. Don't leave here without being sure your sins are forgiven. listen to the invitation of Scripture. Jesus says, come. Will you come tonight? And writer said, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and Lord, you bid me come to thee. Lamb of God, I come. Where you're sitting at in your seat tonight, just call on the Lord to save you. Ask him to come into your heart. Ask him to save you with a full salvation. And thank God tonight you can leave a child of God. If you'd like to speak to us, the room will be available here at the back. I'll be at the door for a few moments, please make that known. We'd love to point you to Christ. Make this the best night of your life, the night you close in with Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow humbly and reverently at the end of a solemn time because we've come to the time of decision. And Lord, you've told us in the Word of God to choose this day whom we will serve. And I pray, Lord, if there are those who are in their sin tonight, thou wilt cause them to choose Christ. Give the gifts of faith and repentance. Give us power tonight, we pray, in this meeting. And give us the privilege of hearing of souls, closing in with the Savior. Lord, I pray that they'll not even leave their pew tonight until their soul's right with God. Lord, please impress upon the heart the urgency. Please impress upon the heart the necessity. And I pray, Lord, this night, thou wilt be satisfied. And rejoicing will be heard in heaven and on earth because of a soul closing in with thee. Lord, this is thy work. And we step away, leaving the word that thou hast given, and ask the Spirit to do the work that man cannot do. Draw the sinner to Christ. For it's in Christ's name we ask these things.